Let's get them boys here tonight to tell you about soul survivors and bad drivers and death designers. Come on! Skeleton Boys in the house.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am John.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, Soul Survivors, a Final Destination saga. This week we are reviewing Final Destination 2. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a new spoiler analysis. But before we do any of that, we go back to TV Corner for the second to last episode of Chucky, maybe ever. Season 3, Episode 7, titled There Will Be Blood.
And there was a lot of blood.
There was a lot of blood. Confirmed. That's it, right? We're done?
Not really anybody's blood in particular. Just there's blood.
Just
there's a lot of blood.
A lot of blood. Just as hauntings go.
Yeah.
A lot of blood.
Because Charles Lee Ray is a ghost in the afterlife talking to Damballa, who takes the form of Chucky. Because Damballa is a sincere deity that is like, you feel more comfortable if I look like this. Like, sure, why not? Yeah, he's given a second chance to go and kill more people in the White House. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure to what end. I think to reclaim life on Earth again, right? Or something.
Yeah, basically, like, that if he uses the power of the blood that he spilled in the White House, I'm not totally reading this off something, in the White House, without a corporal body, basically without possessing a body, that he'll restore him. So he has to kill everybody as a ghost. That's what Damballa wants.
Cool. Sure.
Checks out.
Yeah. It's like a lot of weird twists and turns in this episode. They're dealing with the aftermath of realizing the president's dead and Chucky almost taking over. They bring in a specialist who's like a something. I don't know what he is.
He's paranormal something.
He's got,
right?
Powers.
It says that he was a parapsychologist.
Sure.
And a psychic. They've come to commune with the house.
It's kind of like Lynn Shay's character in Insidious.
Yes, basically. And Larry, they go to the room where the president was killed, and they kind of like sense him in the room.
Yeah. Yes. And he's slowly killing people by basically drowning them in blood.
Basically haunting them and killing them. So we got haunted house movie. That's a haunted house episode, basically, as Charles Lee Ray tries to follow through with what Damballa asked of him. Great.
Surprise, surprise. I know we had talked about this last week, not 30 minutes ago, but Devin Sawa's character dies in this one too.
Does he die in this one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which, in a weird twist, they're trying to kill the president's body double for whatever reasons. Like, they're really trying to make, you know, the White House nefarious, which is fun, but, you know, like, okay. So he runs away. He's trying to escape in an elevator, and one of the bodyguards, this, like, huge guy, is trying to get him with this needle. Mm-hmm. And, instead of that going through, Charles Lee Ray floods the elevator with blood. And just like I'd mentioned last week, unfortunately, this weird CGI moment where he's kind of hovering in a weird animated style in the blood is like laughing at them, and they both drown.
That's right. The blood in the elevator. That's right. Because I thought maybe he was in the room when they do that seance thing in the room, but he's not there. He dies.
No, who dies? The guy that's going to become president that was the dad of Lexi in the first season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Lin Shay's, the Paris investigator's handler. I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
And then what, they get electrocuted, right?
Because everybody around the seance room basically gets electrocuted for the most part. Like all the new characters do. Like literally one side of the table gets electrocuted. So, yes. Because, you know, Jake is there. I think like
Lexi Devon.
Of course.
Forgot his name again.
Yeah. They're not dead. They're, of course, not dead.
President's wife. I don't even remember Devin Sawa's character's name. I think it's Collins. I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. And I forgot what his body double's character's name is, too.
Right.
Yeah, I don't... what happens... Oh, yeah, they have this stupid conversation at the end where they're... Lexi's still like, we need to talk to Chucky, even though Chucky just killed a bunch of people. He's the only person that knows where my psychotic, homicidal sister's at.
Yeah.
I need to find her. There's no way I can contact the authorities. Don't we find a missing person, child especially. especially in the White House, there's nobody that can help me.
But that brings up the question. Like, so that, with that assumption, one reason she doesn't go to the cops is she thinks that, like, Chucky's, like, kidnapped her? Is that the assumption she's making?
Yeah, well...
Even though you and I both know that the character wants to be there. She's been, like, tricked into it. Does Lexi not know that? That brings up the question. Like, does Lexi not know that about her?
She was very clear about it because when you find out that the little sister's evil...
Right.
We mm-hmm. all collectively see it together, like, the kids and... So I'm not sure why... Also, like, that begs the question, like, why aren't the cops or anybody helping her find a missing person? Is it because she keeps bringing up the doll? Maybe don't do that. I don't know. I think a missing person's good enough reason.
That, like I said, that whole turn just seems like for plot reasons, not really like character motivation.
You know, why isn't oh my god, what's Fiona Dorov's character's name?
Sure.
Anyway, like, what? She was there when she saw Chucky unveil his wig and was never that little bride doll, and frame Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm assuming the doll and the little girl ran away. I don't know. Why not just ask her?
Yeah. It just seems like for the sake of the plot, they have to like keep Nika. These characters stupid. Nika. Yeah. They have to keep these characters stupid. So, or for plot reasons, not really like for character reasons. So
yeah,
it almost feels like these kids, you know, like their story's already ended, so it doesn't make sense why they're involved. Like literally this season should have just been about this new cast of people, right? Like this family.
Yeah.
Without have made more sense or something, or
yeah, probably, because they have done exactly zero things to help this family out against Chucky.
Nothing they've done has helped them in any way.
No, yeah.
But they're the only ones that can stop them. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I don't know. And then they have this like cockamamie idea of like, oh, the only way to talk to Chucky now is to go to the afterlife where he's at. I'm like, oh, I'm sure that's safe.
Yeah, Jake's going to sacrifice himself, right? He's going to kill him, die, quote unquote.
Because he mentions Flatliners, which is obviously like one of the most popular movies of all time ever done in all of existence. That people have definitely seen the original and definitely the remake.
Because, yeah. Now it makes sense why they had sex. This is why.
Yeah, because he's going to die.
He's going to die. And they need to have... these manufactured stakes because Devin is gonna like be worried about Jake in the afterlife being dead.
Oh shit. Do you think this is leading up to, so at the very end of this episode, Tiff is also getting lethal injection.
Right.
Because the main prison guard lady that she voodoo dolled is going to talk to the sniper that's a loner, and she gets blown up, liquefied, kind of like in Final Destination, by a car. Oh no, she just gets like, I don't know, curled in half or something, whatever. So she's dying, and then there's that whole thing where Nika, for whatever reason, tells Tiffany right before she's getting lethal injection, she talked to Gigi, Glenda, and I don't know how she's in contact with the doll that's living in London, but whatever. She's saying like, oh, they wanted to say that you were a really good mother and blah blah blah, but also fuck you, you're gonna die for being a piece of, I was like, what is going on here? I don't understand. So I have a feeling that that whole conversation was happening now that we're talking about it. So when Tiffany inevitably is gonna die, because I'm assuming she's gonna fucking die because they show the needle going in her arm, she's gonna be a ghost that stops Chucky.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be there. I think that there's the way this episode is set up. It's like they can literally bring back any dead character now.
Yeah.
They can bring back Jake's dad. It'd be great if they brought back every Devin Sawa character. And nobody really
all
to
talk
it.
To each other. Yeah.
They're all dead. And they all, it'd be funny if they just all talk to each other, or Jake just ignores the fact that it's Devin Sawa and all these characters. He just treats them as if they're all individual people and not make the connection. That would be kind of crazy TV. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's me, Junior. Who?
1000% we're getting Junior. 1000% we're getting fucking, at the very least, we're getting Brad Dourif, Tiffany, and then like Jake in some sort of like
Ghost world,
you know, showdown or something.
We're gonna be doing very reminiscent of another series we reviewed, which was a little bit torturous as well. Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, yeah. There were some highlights in there. There were some lowlights. There were some.
I thought surprisingly, I know we're not talking about
Chuck, I know we're not talking about Chuck anywhere.
Surprisingly, the very last Paranormal Activity, I really enjoyed, even though it has nothing to do with the rest of the storyline.
The one where they're out in the farms, the woods and shit. Yeah. I think my least favorite one is the people that owned the house before them. That one was terrible. Yeah. So I think they had just made a pretty decent third one. Which I don't remember any of these names. I think they're all just burning out of 1, 2, and 3, right? Something.
I really enjoyed the marked ones because it was like very Mexican. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then they still tied it into the first movie, like at least in the, but whatever.
Yeah.
And so Chucky's kind of following suit in like some sort of weird capacity. And I guess we're getting our Final Destination somehow tied. And you're right. Like they named these episodes after just, it feels like somebody's just favorite movie and they find like the most like, not a relevant thing, but oh, let's call it There Will Be Blood. And that's because Chucky's killing people by drowning them with blood or electrocuting them with blood or whatever.
Which isn't why that movie's called that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So it doesn't really...
So, yeah, it feels like they do that with pretty much every title that they're trying to connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, There Will Be Blood. It's more of like a statement of sort of what Dimbala is... proposing to Chucky, right? Like, you have to kill all these people, so there will be blood. Blood.
Yes. People are definitely covered in blood. Where's the blood coming from? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Comes out of everywhere. That's kind of it. I mean, I don't know. Why don't we say this? What do you want to happen in the last episode of Chucky, which we presumably probably is the series finale? What do you want to happen? What's going to satisfy you?
I don't know, man. They like really put themselves in a corner with all this fucking like new lore.
Yeah.
Maybe Chucky and Tiff are stuck in purgatory together forever, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think
kill off one of the kids, please. I think
Devin.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but kill one of them. Yeah, I think Devin's gonna sacrifice himself. Probably.
We've predicted Devin's death for like 3 seasons now. He's never happened. So
we really want the only like black mainstay character to die. We
yeah. I mean, he sucks. Devin sucks.
They all kind of suck, is the thing.
They all kind of suck. To be fair, all the kids suck. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I think if this is the final season, I think you do have to do that last scene with Brad Dourif and Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah.
And then they go to hell together or something, right? Like, they spend the rest of their life together. And that would kind of, like, in a way, put a bow on that story of them, you know? And I'm assuming Jake will live, but... yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just...
Maybe one of them gets transferred into a doll. I don't know. But they don't... I guess they don't have the book. Or they can Google it, I guess, on their phone.
Right, yeah. We do need a couple of things that's harder to predict, is that how Gigi's gonna be brought back. She kind of feels like she's gonna have to have some sort of cameo in this, right? And
I don't know if they will. They've been pretty adamant about just not being back on the show. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I feel like you would kind of need that resolution, because it's kind of like a big component of these later Chuckies have been like the family they've created. And so, though,
maybe they all survive, but then to continue on the legacy, the little sister ends up killing all of them.
Right, yeah. Like, and then that was my other thing that I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it, was the sister.
Yeah.
Because they've got to have some sort of resolution. This is what basically the whole plot of this latter half of the season has been about, is like, where's this fucking Lexi's sister's at? Because like, we haven't seen her since the first episode, right? Like, she, since Chucky's went to the White House.
Yes. I mean, that was more like episode 3 or 4, I think, because the first 2 episodes were just like they're trying to figure out how Chucky got into the White House.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And I think it's what the... Oh, Chucky's aware that he's aging or dying.
Right. Yeah, it's like the third episode, they do that like in-between stuff that we didn't see at the start of this season. Yeah. Well, one more episode. And then we will never talk about Chucky ever again.
Why not? No. Probably. So first season I thought was really fun. Second season I'm like, it's okay. And now we're here and I'm just like, it's this is like the type of show, if before, and this is gonna be like, anybody that's younger is probably not gonna understand this, but before the world of the internet taking over and fucking up film and cinema, when not just anybody could be a filmmaker, God, I thought that was going to be the revolution we all needed, and just so many people that suck at stuff are now fucking filmmakers. Pedro Alvarez. I feel like this would have been fun to watch week to week.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, you know, because you're forced to sit there and be like, oh, that's fun. But yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm just gonna assume that the little sister's gonna be taken over.
Yeah, and we'll definitely give our like last thoughts. We'll kind of wrap up how we feel about the series and stuff after this last episode and everything. But yeah, that was it. Do you have any other thoughts? You want to move on to our main review?
No, I'm ready for the trivia portion.
Ready for the trivia portion of
2003.
The trivia portion, 2003. Something we're doing a little different this year. As I pull up my notes. Facts about the year 2003. One notable event, before I ask you a question, is this was the year Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor.
Oh, interesting.
That should put you in the mindset of that year.
So, I feel like
you were...
It was probably somebody's first year of college. or would have been somebody's first year of college.
Right? Me?
I think somebody we know graduated 2002 from high school. And
no, I graduated in the 90s. What are you talking about? I think I was. I don't know what I was doing at this point. I think I was going somewhere in school. I don't remember.
Probably, dude. I don't know. Again, this was a very long time ago. So
I don't know if you know this. I went to a technical school first before I went to...
I think I did. Yeah, you did tell me.
Pan Am. Got a...
All those years are kind of vague now because, again, that was 20 years ago.
You know, I think getting a technical job was sort of like somehow considered less than actually going to like a four-year college.
But dude, they convinced us that we needed college. Like, it was a huge thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like,
it was a huge scam.
You need to go to college. Yeah. Even the movies we watched, talking about teens in high school, I feel like a lot of it was geared towards, like, let's convince people to join the army or go to college.
Propaganda, yeah. It's like, I literally got my computer degree, or not degree, but it was like a computer certificate.
Associates? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, or whatever it was. And they literally walk you to a office and they're like, oh, go visit this office before you leave. And this is before the graduation. And they had like, oh, and I asked this lady, like, they told me to show up here for, you know, before I graduated. Oh, do you want to see what jobs are available? I'm like, what? Yeah, we have jobs available. You just here. She handed me a notebook and said, like, what's your degree? These are the jobs of... they literally are giving you a job that you can, like... So I got, like five numbers, and I called them, and I got a job, like, literally... as soon as I graduated, I'm like, technical school's great. Yeah. It's great. They're literally giving you a job.
But, I mean, they're not, like, real serviceable skills, right? Like, not, like, theater degrees.
The abstract degree that I got. Yeah.
Philosophy degrees. It's, like, shit you're never going to need, right? Like, welding or... electrical stuff.
Yeah, like
definitely not going to need that later in life to figure out how to fix yourself.
I think our Mr. Tom tried to give me a C, but I somehow, you know, talked him into a B. Because it's like grades don't fucking matter. That's a very inside joke between you and me, Chad. Yeah.
To our college. I'm sure to most people's colleges, actually.
Yeah, people actually settle down, get serious about it. Anywho, alrighty. Facts about the year 2003. John, what do you
Horns
think?
Horns Issues. Is that one of the answers?
What do you think is the number one song? Isn't that an album? Issues? Is it an album?
Issues, yeah. number one song of 2003.
Yeah.
Damn. I was going to say Blue, Dubba Dee, Dubba Dee, but that came out in fucking 90s. I always fuck up all that. 2003. Shit. Was it a Nickelback song?
No, it was not a Nickelback song.
Was it a Creed song?
It was not a Creed song. Do you want me to play it? You ready?
Yes.
And the answer is...
Oh, shit. 50 Cent.
50 Cent in the club. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. What a time.
What a time. Is this still a song that resonates with the kids? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I know like 50 Cent's still in the news, but I don't know if anybody knows who he actually is.
Yeah, he's kind of a one-hit wonder, right? I mean...
Oh, he had... Fuck, what was the other song? I'll take you to the candy shop. Blah, 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 blah,
oh,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a couple. He had a couple hits, yeah. And then he was the guy that spearheaded with Coca-Cola, Vitamin Water, and then he really didn't have to do anything after that.
Yeah, yeah, he sold that out. I think that if you and I were to go to a quinceañera, which we probably will never get invited to, 50 Cent Into Club will probably play before Candy Store, Candy Shop, whatever the fuck.
Candy Shop.
Yeah. So, only because I think Candy Shop is like highly sexually suggestive and stuff. So
it might be.
No, oh, don't act like you don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say, let's see if he's got any other songs, but I don't think so. No, we can move on to the rest of the truth.
I've actually always considered him a one-hit wonder. I don't know.
Oh, Wanksta. That was a big one, but I don't know, like...
Yeah. I don't think he quite reached the heights of, like, In the Club. That's...
No, but it did get put on the 8 Mile soundtrack.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Speaking of movies, what do you think was the number one movie of that year?
Of 2003. Shit.
Yeah.
Castaway. No, I don't know.
Castaway.
I don't even remember when that movie came out. Probably way after that.
No, I think that came out in 2000. Brain remembers it.
So, was it a Scorsese film?
No.
Damn.
This movie made $340 million.
The Lake House?
I'll give you one hint. Okay. It's an animated.
Animated movie, 2003. God, I can't think of what it could be.
Okay. You want to know?
Toy Story? I don't know.
Close. You want to know?
Toy Story 2.
Not close anymore. It was Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo, yeah. Yeah. All right. Sake of time. What do you think was the highest grossing horror movie that year?
2003. Shit.
Yeah.
Was it the Ring sequel?
I'll say this, it's a movie we've definitely seen and reviewed for the show.
Scream 5.
That's a big hit.
I don't know.
I don't know what we review.
Willard? I don't know.
It was Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, that checks. Yeah.
$80 million made that year. All right. So that should kind of put you in that mind of the year 2003. Let's move over to our main review of Final Destination 2. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Final Destination 2, not featuring Devon Sawa, except for in a news article. Coming in at number 3, these are all going to be death related, by the way.
Great.
Death continues dramatic foreshadowing clues.
Sick game he plays.
Coming in at number 2, death freeforms own design. It's like, oh man, I feel like, anyway, it doesn't matter. And coming in at number 1 for Final Destination 2, death's final destination wasn't Paris.
There you go. Yeah, very true. So this is the sequel,
which sets place a year after the events of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
All in the same area. So I think death just fucking hates this area of New York, I think is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you mean Vancouver? Yeah.
Yeah, Vancouver. Yeah. It's like supposed to be like upstate New York. Even the college or the high school that the kids belong to in the first movie makes a feature as the jocks chanting something in the school bus.
Right. So instead of following sequel kind of predictions, right? No Devon Sawa. He was killed. He was ungraciously killed off screen. Not really clear as to why people speculate, because first it was because of money. And then I think recently Devon Sawa came out and said that they just never worked out, right? Was that his last?
Yeah, he just said like it never panned out the right way. Like by the time they started making this, he was already attached to something else. Mm-hmm. And then every time they try to bring him up in a new movie, it just like really didn't work out. So he said that he always goes to, if he gets invited to the premieres, he goes to support because he thinks it's a great franchise.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the first big strike against this movie, is that they you don't have Devon Sawa's character, who's kind of the main character. They do kind of compensate it and bring back Adi Larder's character, Clear Rivers, for it.
Yes.
And essentially playing what I'm assuming what they probably had in mind for Devon Sawa's character is, you know, she's in a she's kind mental of like facility. Mental facility. Yeah, she's like in a mental facility, a safe mental facility or whatever, and is going to wait it out there based on the events of what happened in Paris.
This one almost streamlines exactly what happens in the first one, just with more people.
I would say, yes, more elaborate deaths, more people. There's more deaths. It's a little bit on the action side.
Yeah, because they go all in on death's design almost immediately. Like this, the main girl like figures everything out within like the first 20 minutes.
And
which, by the way, the cold open just annoyed the shit out of me. I was like, let these people die, because she drives off, and her single dad, because her mom had just passed away or something, like was like, just be careful. And he notices that there's coolant on the ground. And he calls her like, hey, need to check out the car because it's leaking coolant. And her friend is like, come on, it's fine. The car is fine. I'm like, if it's leaking coolant, it's definitely not fucking fine. You need to like, that car's not getting very far. You need to fucking fix that before this SUV's engine fucking burns out.
Yeah. Yeah, I was absolutely hated the way these characters were written. At least in the beginning. I was like eye-rollingly bad. It's kind of like, you had the basic same lines, like just really like.
I was actually okay with everybody in the vehicle dying except for her. I was like, this is okay.
I think it's written by people that hate teenagers. I think that's why they wrote it the way they wrote it. It's like, her friend being like, oh, did you get the condoms? And
I was like, who the fuck talks like this? What is this? Like
in front of their dad? Like,
yeah.
Like
the whips and the orgy or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah.
What? Yeah.
Not a fan right away.
No, yeah. I was like, hopefully these people die right away. Especially like there's like the one character supposed to be the stoner character.
Oh my God. He had literally the most early 2000 look imaginable. it just was painful.
I just thought it was funny, like, oh, he's smoking this like huge joint, has like a huge bag of weed, and then allegedly like a couple of cars behind him is like some dude who's doing fucking cocaine while he's driving his like cool little muscle car. And like, yeah, it's just people with like a bunch of problems apparently.
I feel bad for that the actor Alejandro Rey, I think it was his name, from what I can gather. Alejandro Rey, he's one of the cast members. Yeah, he had the goofiest look in this movie. It was so painful. I was like, God, I don't care. I hope all these people die. And of course, this has maybe the popularity of this opening sequence has sort of lived on, you know, because it's the huge traffic accident, which was, I thought was incredible. I thought it was great, you know?
Yeah.
And
What's the that? Lumber, right? Falling off the back of the truck.
Yeah, they had the sequence. Yeah,
I didn't mention this last week, but I had already previously watched this film before we reviewed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding.
What?
Last week, not like 45 minutes ago. And the water bottle falling underneath the brake pedal was the thing that scared the shit out of me.
Yes.
I saw it in high school. So I never had water bottles in my car. I was like, nope.
You know what's fucked up? I still think about that, and I never associate. I still think about that. Like, I wouldn't say it's an exaggeration to say to this day, but yes, more or less up to this point in my life, I still think about something jamming the pedals,
yeah,
getting rolled under it. And I did not know it was from this movie. I just did not know that. I totally forgot about it. So when I saw it, I was like, oh my god, that's where I get that fucking intruding thought. As John sits in darkness.
I know. I was about to turn on a light. But yeah, the water bottle thing, I'm like, oh my god. But now that, you know, when you think about it, it's...
No.
Unless that lady's brakes are completely fucked and she needs to put the actual pedal to the ground, which is not a thing. Like, she should have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, this is David Ellison's second movie. He had only ever done Homeward Bound 2.
Nice.
And so he's the sequel guy, right? He's doing Final Destination 2.
That's the San Francisco one, right?
That's the one in San Francisco, yeah. Okay. And I think that he, according to his IMDb or whatever, like, he has a background in stunts. He was a stunt coordinator, stunt actor, stunt man. But, and it kind of shows here, right? Like, a lot of the deaths, and especially this sequence, really well designed. From what I understand, there's a lot of the car accidents were practical, except for maybe I think the fire and a few other things were CGI'd. And something that I think was maybe less obvious is that the logs falling off the truck is CGI, of course, right? Though it looks great. I think it still looks...
because they did shoot a practical version of this.
Yes.
Yeah. But they didn't bounce the way they wanted, because wood doesn't fucking bounce.
Like wood doesn't bounce, yeah. It gets like no air, like less than a foot, you know, foot off the ground. So they tried to drop them from higher up, I think is what I read. So they CGI'd the logs. And that's, you know, probably to this day, it's probably the most thing people, you still see memes of. People always put that same meme of like, oh, I know better than to drive behind logs or whatever, drive behind something with the heavy load, because everyone thinks of this movie.
When the reality is, like, you don't want to drive behind recreational vehicles like that.
Because anyways,
if they have to brake, mm-hmm. or it's more of like they're behind you. They don't brake the same way cars do, and I don't think people understand that. Just speaking from driving 5-ton vehicles and people trying to cut me off, I'm like, you know, I'm going to fucking slam into you. I can't. It's not how this car inertia works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but yeah, people lose their minds in cars. Yeah. Nobody knows how to drive.
Maybe that's death's grand design.
Death's grand design.
That's what the new Final Destination is going to be. It's just everybody's dying because they're shitty drivers.
And this movie kind of... We have a different, of course, we have a different set of main actor who has a premonition. Actress AJ Cook, or Kimberly in the movie, she gets the premonition that that there's going to be this huge car pileup and stuff like that. And supposedly this is also based on something that happened. There was like a 25 car pileup. 3 people actually died or something. So. There's a bit of reality to it, to the accident. She has a premonition where she dies. All these sorted. This is probably the one that's most so far the more ambitious than even the plane, because it's like they didn't even know each other. You know, we had like a state trooper. Yeah. We had a guy who just won the lottery. We had a guy doing drugs. We, you know.
Yeah, the burnout dude.
Burnout dude.
The pregnant woman.
Pregnant woman, the mother and son.
The woman who has a high-paying job, I guess, smokes all the time.
Career woman number 3, or whatever the fuck her name is. Yeah. And Yeah. So we had a just a nice... sitting it in a highway is very ambitious because it's like, you have, how are you going to pull this all together? Because at least the first one, they were all schoolmates and they were on a singular place.
And at least in this one, we get an additional black character aside from Tony Todd.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, do you want to know the one cool fact?
Yes.
That I mentioned in the last episode?
Yeah, just one though.
Just one only. Interesting fact. Did you realize Ali Larder's hair is blonde in this movie and brunette in the first one?
No, I didn't catch that. So you're saying she was dyeing her hair to be more depressed.
Goth.
And in this one, because she can't dye her hair anymore, she can't be artsy.
Yeah, that blew my mind. I was like, oh yeah. I just always assume, I just see Ali Larder and I think blonde, right? That's sort of like what, yeah, like her natural hair color. But yeah, like no, she's a total brunette, I think, in The Final Destination.
She's also keeping herself safe because you find out that Devon Sawa died off screen because a brick fell and hit his head. They were still able to get back from France without death trying to kill them. And a brick fell on Devon Sawa's head.
Well, I mean, part of the series is that death, because he didn't get him at first, right? That he has to try to make it look like suicide or an accident.
Yeah.
Which is weird, right? Like, why is it... What does it matter? He can just... I'm death. I can just go up to and boop you, you know? And then you're
again,
dead.
That lady, the teacher from the first movie, was stabbed by, like, three different knives in different places, electrocuted, and then set ablaze.
I think... Well, maybe death hates women. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Idea.
That's why he cut off... He just chopped off Sean William Scott's head because he's like, oh, man, I like this guy. Yeah, let's make it quick.
I forgot what happened, but yeah, like her friends all die, right?
So yes, AJ Cook's friends, right? They all get hit by something, some car,
another semi, I believe, or something, right?
Oh yeah, the one that was trailing behind that ended up... Who does that end up killing? Oh, the guy on the motorcycle. The only other black person in the movie.
Yeah, the other black person. Yeah.
He in the premonition, he flies off his motorcycle, slams into one of the lumber pieces that fell off the truck, and then the motorcycle. Oh, I guess the motorcycle ends up killing him, right? Some like another semi ends up rolling, like slamming through a bunch of people.
Like behind him, yeah. Another semi comes from behind and I think kills her immediate friends, and so she kind of gather all of the people. I don't know why, even though there was like 100 cars behind him, like they only gathered these like 6-7 people. Yeah. and kind of questioning them and stuff like that, and yeah, I mean, I think probably my favorite one is probably the first one with the guy, the lotto winner.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was fun. It, like the very blatant foreshadowing. Like, he is. What is he making? He likes trying to figure out what to eat for lunch or whatever.
Yeah, he just got home. Yeah.
Like he's like kind of a slob, right? Mm-hmm. And he pulls out like a bunch of different fucking things to make. Yeah, including something he has to put in an oven called fired something or fired up or whatever or something like that to foreshadow that the place is gonna blow up.
Right, yeah, yeah. I think he's like he gets a dirty pan and puts cold Chinese food in it, which I've never done before. That's weird, right?
That's right. It's probably delicious. I don't know.
Is it? That's the most difficult way to warm up food. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of somebody that doesn't own a microwave, I do that sometimes. But I put it in my Dutch oven. I'm not going to
So you just fart all over him? I'm just kidding. Yes.
Come with me to the bed,
dude. Anyways, but yeah, and I like that it, there's this sense of dread because he like takes his shirt off and you just, oh man, this guy's gonna get it. You just know he's gonna get it.
He drops like a brand new gold ring that he bought himself, apparently. He's also getting like messages on his answering machine that I thought were funny, like some girl going like, hey, I heard you won the lottery, it'd be nice if we got together. And then some other girl going like, hey, we met at a party last year, it'd be cool if we got together. And then his like best friend going like, you won the lottery, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
While that's happening, right, he, like, he drops his ring in the garbage disposal, so like he puts his hand in there, he gets stuck.
Yeah, you think that's it, but yeah, that wasn't it. And I like how they emphasize his, like, to me, they emphasize it. I don't know if you caught this, like, his nipple ring. You really were, like, emphasizing this. So it's like, oh, my God, he's going to fucking lose his nipple ring at some point in this elaborate Rube Goldberg fucking murder trap that Death's created.
But he's able to escape through the fire escape.
He's able to escape.
Makes it out, actually falls to the ground level outside in the alley.
Falls on glass.
Glass, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he's still alive because he's lucky. And then the fire escape ladder falls and almost looks like it's going to kill him. And he's like, oof, good thing I've got no initiative or survival instincts to roll away from this as soon as that happened. And the fucking ladder falls and crushes his head.
Yeah. Excellent crushing of the head. Yeah, I think that to me, that was the most memorable one. That's what I liked the most. I did like when he killed the guy that does the cocaine, where he gets split into like half by barbed wire, because that's the way barbed wire works. It's so sharp.
I also like the kid dying, the one that he's wearing like a, is he the one wearing the Limp Bizkit shirt? No, I think one of the kids is wearing a Limp Bizkit shirt. I remember thinking that's funny. I hadn't thought about this t-shirt in a long time. I think it's the kid that the cocaine dude pushes out of the way of the news van that almost runs over him.
Yeah.
Which I hate that Death was like trying to kill this kid. I'm like, this looks more like a neglect on human. This looks like human error. No, Death's involved in this.
Yeah. Is this the one that gets crushed?
By the pane of glass.
Paint of glass. Paint of glass,
yeah.
Which was excellent. It looked really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Because they're trying to warn him, like, the birds, beware of the pigeons. And he's like, oh, yeah, pigeons, I'm going to fuck with them. So he runs into the pigeons and the pane of glass falls on him.
Crushes him very, very, like, I don't know. It was very interesting the way it just, like, crushes him. Like, the literal, like, flattens him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, again, another great, like, set piece death in this.
I would say the cocaine guy is the guy that's closer to Sean William Scott's character.
Yeah.
Doesn't really want to die, even though the motorcyclist also has a lot of like, oh, he's more like the jock.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of angry and very like, no, I'll die on my own terms, blah, blah, blah. But the coke user, the guy in the burnout and the muscle car, when he gives his keys to AJ Cook and he goes like, hey, I just want you to have these because you know who's going to die next or whatever. And like, if I go, could you go to my apartment and just like get rid of all my porn or erase my phone or like get rid of my tapes and anything that'll break my mom's heart.
Yeah. It's a funny line. And then, the other one was not, I thought was clever, but not as fun, was the sort of like career woman of the piece. She gets like a pole, like crashes through her car.
That's where I'm like, that's not really death. That's like human fucking error. Like I fucked up.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like he like, the airbag popped out and hit her in the face, which pushed her. So she gets the, I don't know how to describe this, but like the pole went through the back of her head, but only sticks out the sharp part, but she kind of avoids it or whatever. It's like piping, PVC piping, yeah, or some type. And then
I think it's supposed to be reminiscent of, in Devin Sawa, the first one is running through the woods, tumbles and gets up and almost runs right. his face into like a jagged piece of, you know, tree.
Tree, yeah. Yeah, that's a great example. And then they try to pull, she's having a car accident or something, they try to pull her out and the airbag goes off.
Like a, there's a fucking like tree trunk or something stuck on her lap.
Like, yeah, yeah. Airbag comes out, pops, pushes her through the pipe. She's fucking dead. Which
she's dead.
Dead. It's good stuff.
Which is also, she's mentioning the guy is using like a circular saw to kind of cut down the tree. And she's like, whoa, whoa, hey, like, do you have to do that so loud? And like, my legs and blah, blah, just complaining. And the guy jokingly is like, oh yeah, let me just put this in quiet mode. And she's like, yeah, that'd be great, thanks. But she's unaware that's not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then he does a thing and it triggers the airbag.
Yeah. And then well, I guess we're kind of missing a little bit of the plot, which was our main character finds the other survivor, Clear Rivers, and convinces her to kind of join her to help her survive. Which seemed like an odd character thing.
Weird thing, but she's like, we need to go talk to Tony Todd. I'm like, okay.
Anytime for a Tony Todd cameo, I'm here for it. Yeah. I am here for it. Yeah. And then we kind of, what was the plan here? Should we like go into spoilers?
Yeah, right. let's do that.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Because okay. I don't even understand the plan, really. I don't understand where this is like, we just need to figure out Death's design. We need new life. Oh, this woman is pregnant.
Yeah.
And for some reason, AJ Cook does not remember correctly that woman never fucking died.
Right, like she kind of misremembers whether she died on the highway that day, which she didn't. So the plan was to
make sure the baby was born that was never supposed to be born, even though, yes, the baby was always going to be born.
Yeah. To what end again? Why did she want the baby born? Because there was like this whole plot. We stopped the whole movie just so we can find this
baby character. Yeah. This woman giving birth. Because it would mess up Death's design if new life was brought into the picture. And this is just something...
Just spitballing.
They're taking Tony Todd, the coroner, but like a coroner in like... Maybe it's a mortuary? No, like, I don't remember. Like, but he's like in the basement, a dungeon-style level fucking... Like... Mortuary,
like Freddy Krueger's fucking
boiler room
status there. Yeah,
so they're taking Tony Todd's word for like, oh, we need new life. So like, oh, that's gotta be it.
That's yeah,
there's no other answer.
What? Yeah.
I guess what are they gonna do? I don't know, but yeah, but then they also establish, oh, we can all kind of see things and we would know how to help each other beat death. And one of the sillier ones, I think, is the motorcyclist and... Shit, what was it? Oh, it was a career woman.
That's right.
Are in an elevator together going down, and they call her, and they go like, watch out for the man or somebody with hook hands or something. And I was like, I don't even know how they got that. But there's like a dude carrying a box full of prosthetic arms that have little hook hands, because back in the day that's just what they look like. They're you either look like Chubbs from fucking Happy Gilmore, or you had a hook for a hand.
Yeah,
and that woman dies because she gets her head chopped off.
Oh, by the elevator.
The mom. Yeah, the mom of the kid that just got killed.
Right. Yeah, that was a plot detail. I was just like, okay, well, I guess we got to go. So we got to add a twist. We got to go somewhere different for the story purposes.
And the poor motorcyclist gets impaled as well. And he's in a hospital room and goes through so much where Death looks like he's trying to kill him. But apparently Death wasn't even there at all. sure death can be omnipotent, but like they kind of make it seem like he's going to go in order or else. I don't know.
Yeah, for some reasons. That's the design, I guess. So yeah. We lose Valley Lighter character dies, which is like weird.
Because she's going to go check on the motorcyclist. Like, oh, he's okay. And
her new friends. And she blows up.
Yeah.
So
she's to crisp.
Which is kind of like that's how she was supposed to die, right? Technically, oh, yeah. In the plane, she was supposed to like burn alive or whatever, explode.
And even in the garage, I think she was supposed to blow up. So
yeah.
Well,
we have
our main character figures out with her new cop boyfriend for whatever reason.
Again, another ambiguous relationship. Like they didn't seem like you could piece together that they were definitely more friendly than the other groups, but there was no like I don't know romance, right?
No, I didn't think so. And also, they gave the cop like some really stupid dialogue. Like there was a moment where like, how are we gonna do that? And they're like, guys, remember I'm a cop. I'm like, I don't think anybody forgot that, right? Just
you're wearing your outfit. You say that.
But she figures out without telling the cop, like I know what to do, so she's gonna go fucking flatliners herself. Because I'm guessing she saw that movie too.
She's
like, this is what I gotta do. I gotta drown.
Season 3.
Die. Come back.
Chucky. Yeah. She saw Chucky.
Because she sees some like news article where somebody survives and doesn't get killed later. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And then she kind of has a premonition about it. Not knowing it was her though. Right? She doesn't.
No, she was convinced it was a pregnant woman for some reason.
So you kind of have. Yeah. So you kind of have like this scene where she survives falling into the car, drives into a lake, and she survives with the cop boyfriend. And that's kind of where they leave it until we have that scene at the end, right? Where
the dude that wanted his porn destroyed had pushed some kid out of the way,
mm-hmm.
where the news van almost ran over him, and that kid was they let that kid be in charge of the barbecue. I don't think this is death's design. I think it's just human error all around.
That's what it's supposed to look like, John. You gotta think like a designer.
Yeah, <it's true. laughs> And the kid blows up and that's how that ends.
Like, yeah, that funny scene where like there's body parts flying everywhere. He explodes and there's like an arm that falls in front of the woman. She's like, ah, freaking out, screaming. And it cuts to black. So no real like... Again, more people that survive that probably won't be in the sequels of these movies. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I think a little less fun than the first one, I think.
Yeah, a little too...
Too many characters.
I think ambitious for its action aspect, which muddled the actual story.
I agree with that, yeah. It was a little too much to try to bite too much off here and like... The story and everything, even though they have some cool stuff, cool deaths, good direction, you know, good action sequences.
I want to say after like the 20-minute mark ish, I'm just spitballing here, but you're going to hear the phrase death's design at least like 30 times in one scene.
Everybody, they're all new characters. Every single movie, there's never except for Tony Todd, right? He's like the guy that.
Except for Tony Todd. You're probably right. He probably is death.
He probably is death, some sort of.
He's still Candyman. He's just really exhausted from doing all the work himself. So
he's tired of having to carry another horror franchise again.
Yeah. He just influences humans to make human errors. That's design.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts? You want to rate it?
Let's rate it. Yeah.
Okay, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Final Destination 2 5 sexy spooky bones.
That's interesting. I was thinking more of a 6. Because I think so far from what I've seen from the series, this was definitely, like you said, more ambitious. And I thought The sequences were all really well done, directed, but probably way too many characters, more characters I didn't like. Brought back the wrong character, in my opinion. Devon Sawa should have been brought back.
Yeah.
Killing him off screen, that was a huge negative as well. So
also bring back the cops from the first movie. Why not?
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
Why they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's because it's like a different team. I don't think the same people, aside from the writer, I don't think nobody else returned to the movie. So there's not like
Tony Todd.
Not enough continuity. Yeah. Except for Tony Todd.
Yeah, it's just, to me, this one felt more like a paint by numbers version of a horror movie now. Like, it's becoming a little too formulaic.
Yes. Yeah. You kind of see the formula that they're going to, like, literally the way the first movie is, we're going to see that again and again for the next like four movies. We're going to see almost the exact same thing, my guess.
Yeah.
But alrighty.
Well, I mean, I'm still looking forward to the next installment. I mean, what a roller coaster this series has been so far.
Yeah. The third one is, surprisingly, I looked it up. I said I didn't see it, but I think I did. So
I remember seeing, I think I saw it in theaters.
I think this is my favorite horror franchise. I don't know. We'll see. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Come on!
Skeleton boys in the house.